being killed. So just like Achav himself was killed, but now when he kills, when she never got remarried, Izebel, seems if the Almana will get remarried, so then she has a new husband, an old husband, and things start happening there, and I guess the old husband goes away somehow. But till that happens, somehow there's some still connection to her husband, and therefore when she was throwing Izebel out the window, Lashon Nekeva, Achav's also being thrown out the window, Lashon Zachar. It's another einish to the ruach of Achav, and that says the Kliyakar is why there is a ksiv of Lashon Zachar, because not only with Lashon Nekeva is Izebel being thrown out the window here and being killed, but Achav also, his ruach is also being thrown out the window here. So like we said yesterday, they threw out the window and by your Mesana, and Yehu trampled on her with his horse and she died. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayavoy vayochal vayesht. So he came and he ate and he drank. Now, and the reason is because Bavoy Rishoyim Rina, we mentioned this way back by Achav's time, Bavoy Rishoyim Rina, there's a simcha in the world when Rishoyim are destroyed. And although he hasn't yet finished the entire mishpacha of Achav, but Izebel was one of the biggest, she was maybe even more than, more of an instigator than Achav himself. She was behind a lot of the troubles, and therefore, when she's finally killed, there's a big simcha in Klal Yisrael, and therefore, when there's a simcha, vayavai vayachal vayesh, so you have a suda when there's a simcha. Vayayma. Now, he had left her laying out there, her dead body. So after he ate and he drank, Vayomer said, "Piktu na'as arura azois." Go check out. Piktu is lashon of remembering, really. In other words, remember, go check out. Arura azois, this cursed one, Izebel, v'kivrua, and bury her, kibas melechi. Because she's a bas melech. And therefore, even though she was a rasha, however, since she is a bas melech, so therefore, you have to give her kavod, and we shouldn't let her just be laying out there derech bizoyin, and therefore we should go and we should bury her. Now even though she was also the wife of a melech, why are we saying that the reason is because she's bas melech? So the Radak says, well, being the wife of the melech, she's really the one who caused her husband to lose his malchus and to die, the whole family is going to be killed out. So to give, say her chashivas is that she's the wife of the melech, she's really the one who made that whole part of the malchus be lost. So therefore he said, kibat melechi. Even though bat melech, she was not from malchus, from a Jewish malchus, Izebel was a geiris, she came from a geisha stock. However, even malchi umas ha'ilam, there's the obligation to give them kavod, and therefore he said, kivas melechi. Now there is a bit of a problem here, and I don't really have a good answer for the problem. And the problem is that the Navi said beferish, when Yaina ben Amitai said his nevuah here, his nevuah was, So what exactly, and we'll see this a little bit more, but what exactly was Yehu trying to do here? We have to remember and go bury her. Didn't the Navi say Beferish Vein Kaiver, she's not gonna have a burial? So finished. So you think it's a covered kivas melechi, she can't leave her up the bizayin. The Navi said Beferish that Izebel is Vein Kaiver, there's gonna be no kura for her. So what was Yehu trying to do here? And just keep that in mind. We'll see as we go through the psukim. So what happens? Vayelchu l'kavra. So he sent his servants, wherever they were, to go bury her. V'loy matzuba, when they found her, all they found was kim ha'gulgulis, they found her skull, v'araglayim, and her feet, the kabateyadayim, and her hands, the palms of her hands. That's all that was left. The dogs had eaten up the rest of her. That was really what the Navi had said, yaychu l'aklavim. So the dogs had eaten up the rest of her, and this was all that was left. So vayashuvu vayagiduloi, so they came back. So vayagiduloi, they told him, there's nothing left to bury, just a couple of bones. So vayoymer, so he said, Dvar Hashem hu asher diber biyad avde eliyo hatish bilemar b'chaylik Yisrael yoyklu haklavim espesari zava. So he said, this is a kiyum of the nevuah of Hashem through Eliyo HaNavi, repeated by Yoyna ben Amitai, that he said, and remember they were, Yehu and his servants were witnesses to this nevuah from Eliyo we saw yesterday. And he said, this is the nevuah was, Yoyeklu HaKlavim Spesar Izevel. Izevel is going to be eaten by the dogs. We're Bechelik Israel, in the Chelik of Israel. And that's what happened. And it continues. V'haitza, it continues, the nevuah was, Nivlas Izevel, Kedaymen Afnei Atzadeh, Bechelik Israel. The nevuah, the body of Izevel is going to be like diamonds, like fertilizer, spread out all over the field. So she's also going to be spread out. Asher lo yaimru, zayis izavel. That no one's going to be able to say that this is izavel. She's not going to be recognizable. This was part of the nevuah. So, there's two pshatim here in what happened. He said, go and bury her. They come and they say, there's nothing left to bury except hands, feet, and skull. So did they bury those parts of her or not? Pasuk's not clear. They came back and they said, there's nothing left. So he says, oh, that's the nevuah of Hashem, that the Klavim are going to eat her. So the Radak says, v'loi kavru mi'enu davar. They didn't bury her. Now why not? Why didn't they bury her? Didn't he say, go bury her? So the Radak says, a chiddush, kevan shayaroiv gufanecha. Once the majority of her body was eaten up, so therefore, they said, you don't have to bury the a couple of bones that are left. And this was a kiyum of the Navi that said, Ve'ein kaiver. That the Navi said the dogs are going to eat them up. Ve'ein kaiver, and there's going to be nothing left to bury. Not that there's an isser to bury. There's going to be nothing left to bury. And kachava, there was nothing left to bury. There was a couple of bones. And the Radak said, since it wasn't a majority of the body, therefore they did not have to bury her. Then he brings a drash. And the drash is a quote from, is from the Pirkei de Rabbelezer. Imagine some Pirkei de Rabbelezer. And the Pirkei de Rabbelezer says as follows. The Pirkei de Rabbelezer is a parak that's talking about chesed. And bringing all different proofs of how far chesed goes, and what's the schar for chesed, and so on and so forth. So the Pirkei de Rabbelezer says, Gvilas chesodim la'avei leminayim. How do you know that there's a mitzvah, or how far the mitzvah goes, of gemilas chasadim to an ogel? Says the Pirkei de Rabbelezer, we learn this from Izevel. Which is interesting, we have nowhere else to learn gemilas chasadim for an ogel except from Izevel. Why? Because Izevel, her window faced the shuk, says the Medrash. We saw it. She had a window vayashke from the Kaloin, and she was there. Her window did face the streets or the gate. She was able to see what was going on, and she saw Yehu coming. Same window. Her window faced the shuk. Says the Medrash, any chas in her kala that passed by her window, a procession passed by her window, she would go out and she would dance and clap. And she would shake her head around, and she would be mesameach chasin v'kala. And she would walk along 10 steps with them. What the 10 steps signify, that's how much she would walk with them. On the flip side, any mace, any levaya that passed by, she would also go out, and she would walk. And there's certain types of mourning that you do with your hands and clapping and slapping and things like that. In the olden days, the ladies used to, they still do it like by the Arabs in the Middle Eastern countries, that it's called mekainanized, they wail, and there's clapping and slapping and making noises, and a whole bunch of things, back and forth, like a chazan, it's a whole thing, and the Gemara and Mishnahs talk about how you do it, when you're allowed to do it, and Chalamad you don't do it, and Rishchaydish you don't do it, so on and so forth. This was just the Derech of mourning. So therefore she used her hands and her feet, and I guess her head also, to help out with the Levayas HaMeis. So says the Medrash, and this is the Drash that the Radak is bringing, why was it that her skull, hands and feet remained, the dogs didn't eat them? The Radak is quoting the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Because it is chus that she used to dance for the kalos. So her feet were left over. And she used to clap, so her hands. And she'd shake her head, so her skull. That's the only part the Radak brings, but the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says the same thing was for the mace. It was a chesed for the mace that she did. Avelus is a chesed for the mace, and therefore a cover for the mace. So therefore that's why these three limbs remain, hands, feet, and head, because she did chesed with them for kalis and for mace. Now, yeah?
Very often, if somebody like a
Yeah, right.
So they keep it
in a certain place
until
the
person
dies? Not necessarily.
So what do you do with that?
They bury it right away.
Right away, and not,
anywhere? If it's close to when the person's nifter, so then a lot of times I'm saying, if the guy's like deathly ill, and they amputate a thing, and he dies within 2 days, you know what I mean? If they see, then they might, you know, put them all together, things like that, but it's not necessarily... that it has to be. What? What's he supposed to do? I mean, he wants to kill him? I mean, what do you want him to do? Has to show him, he has to have this. I don't know. So they'll put it over there? I don't know. I really don't know. If you want to find out. But just because the person bought a cabin, they start digging it up and putting it in, and then what happens when they bury him again? I don't know. What is this cabbage and Eitz Yisrael? I don't know. Maybe, I have no idea. I don't think that there's any obligation with us to do it. You know what's going to happen? See, it's how is everything going to come together? I don't know. I guess Hashem will figure it out. I don't know. Okay, so now, the figure of Lezah doesn't say anything, but the Radak says his own opinion. He says, Uladat Hadrash, according to this Medrash, Hanisher Bakavu, they did bury these limbs. And it seems like the Radak is saying that since the whole reason why these limbs remained is because there was a schus involved, so they're also zaycha to kvura. That's what it seems. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar does not say anything about the burial. The Rabbi Elazar is not talking about that. It's talking about the inyan of chesed. The Radak is saying, according to the Medrash, that these limbs remain because of the schus of chesed, so we'll say they probably got the schus of being buried too. What are you going to do? The Navi said, ve'ein kaiver. Mashamar ve'ein kaiver means to say, ki kaidim yavoyu lekever nechal raiv gufa. Ve'ein kaiver means that since the majority of her body was not buried because it was consumed by the dogs, that's called already Ve'en Kaiver. And even if you end up burying three or four limbs, hands, feet, and skull, that's not called that she got Kvura. So according to his first pshat, Ve'en Kaiver means she wasn't buried at all. Why didn't they bury these limbs? Because once the majority of her was not buried, so then the rest of her did not have to be buried either. So Ve'en Kaiver means nothing was buried. According to the Drash, the Radak is saying that since majority of her was not buried, that's called Ve'en Kaiver. Even though they buried a couple of limbs, still called that she was not buried because the majority of her was not buried. Why did they bury those limbs? Because if they remained around because of the schus of chesed, so it seems that there's zaycha to kvura. Now the truth is, we just had in Chumash, ki kavrit tikfarenu b'yayma, who was a mitzvah saseh. And that the Rambam brings it down as a mitzvah saseh of kvura. At the same time, there is also, Chazal say, that there's a v'halakta bidracha, there's a mitzvah to go in the ways of Hashem, And the Chazal tells us a whole list of things, Mahu Afata, and one of the things is Mahu Kaver Mason, Maf Ata Kaver Mason. So besides for the mitzvah saseh of Kikaver Tikbrenu B'yay Mahu, to bury a person, there's also a concept of chesed. Burying the person is a concept of chesed. And there may be situations, perhaps, where there's no mitzvah saseh of Kaver Tikbrenu B'yay Mahu, however, there might still be the mitzvah of chesed. Perhaps in this situation where there's no, if Raiva the body is not buried, is not around to be buried, maybe there's no mitzvah saseh of kavod tikvareinu b'yayim ahu. Or the Gemara brings down certain shiurim, the person's walking in the road and he finds a mace mitzvah, he's obligated to bury the mace. What if he's walking in the road and he finds a kezias of flesh from a mace? Is he obligated to bury it or not? It's a big machlaikas if he's obligated to bury it or not. It's kikavir tikbrenu b'yamahu, a majority of a body that there's a mitzvah saseh, or even any part of a body. But even if it's not part of the mitzvah saseh, kikavir tikbrenu b'yamahu, it still may go into the mitzvah saseh of chesed, of kvuras mason. So there's really two aspects to the issue of kvura. There's the mitzvah saseh of kikavir tikbrenu b'yamahu, that the Torah wants a person to be buried and nothing else. And then there's the second aspect of chesed, that a person does chesed, ima meisim, mahu afata, it's also gmilas chasadim, to bury the meis. Now, it's interesting to know, yeah?
What part is
Chesed to Avelim? What do you mean?
No,
it's Chesed to the mace, not to the Avelim.
So, why would they
come to the Avelim? Oh, it's Chesed to Avelim. I mean, it's not a... that's a good question. Unless over there means... I have to look up the exact lesson. Unless it means... Avelim just means Mason. That could be. Let me look again in the context. A good question. Okay. Now, the question is as follows. Why we have to learn from Izevel? I mean, it's a nice thing, but Izevel of all people. And he's more than that. So one of the Mefarshim in the Pirkei Dei Rava says, what's shot in Izevel? Why these mitzvahs did Izevel chop on? Why these mitzvahs? And the way he poses the question says as follows. Izevel kaliba v'napsho was davuk to Avodah Zarah, to Baal. Now one of the yesaidus of Avodah Zarah is that you have to be mevatel kol mitzvah shebetayra. If you really believe in Avodah Zarah, truly believe in Avodah Zarah, not with the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah like Klal Yisrael, but Izevel followed Nevi'e Baal. She killed out anyone who was an Oyved Hashem, not just Nevi'e Hashem, even Avdei Hashem. So a yesod of being knifed out by the Zara is negating all mitzvahs in the Torah. Why all of a sudden when it comes for a chasana, all of a sudden she's boo, this is like her mitzvah, chasana's kal is her thing, or levayas hameis. What's the pshat here? So the Shevet Musar is a Musar sefer from, I don't know, a couple hundred years ago. He has a pirush on the Pirkei Dei Rava, and he says a big chiddush. He says, when she went out to either dance or to be Malava the Mace, she was not being Mechavon L'Shem Mitzvah. She didn't mean to do L'Shem Mitzvah. Rather, she wanted to show off her beauty. She wanted to show off her good voice. She wanted to show off that she dances nicely. She was doing it that everyone should pay attention to her and not really for the Kala, for the Mace. She wasn't doing for the Kala, the Mace. She was doing for the bystanders. And her Kavana was to be Machti them. Should see her beauty, and then it could cause all types of aveiros and things like that. So her kavana was to do hepech ritzayni yisbarach, to do the opposite of ratzon of Hashem. Hashem wanted this for a mitzvah, she was doing the thing that's for a mitzvah, for the exact opposite, to be machti people. So says the Shevet Musar, that's the lesson we want to learn from Izevel, which means to say that even though it almost fits into what we were talking about the other day from the Netziv and Chesed, but it doesn't really fit in because we said who were we talking about? And we said that even though they did chesed, but it didn't stand for them when they... was it for gay chesed, maybe? I don't remember. Said that even though they did chesed, and it did not help them as a schus. So Geicha is the end of Chaylik on my book. Maybe that's who was by. Over here, the Sheva Musa wants to say that even, we got to learn from her, that even though her Kavana was for a chet, her Kavana was to be nasty people. But since at the end of the day, she was also, the outcome was the Mesamech HaSem Mekala, so there's Schar for that also. Didn't save her. But Eina Kodesh Baruch Mekap Eschar Kolberia, Hashem always pays back Schar, and the Schar was that she ended up, her hands and feet and skull remained. So that's why Bidavka picked Izevel, because Izevel is the epitome of someone who's not doing the mitzvah at all, he's doing it for a chet. And still, since the outcome was a chesed for the mate or a chesed for the kala, so we learn from her to the extent of Gemilas Chasad. The second pshat the Sheva Musa says, also not going to make her out into being tzadekis here, but he says as follows. Really, she had kavana for the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim, but in a very warped way. Why? Because that Rishayim don't really know deep down is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they don't. They know deep down is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Yetzirah is too strong for them. Now, she has a problem. She has so many averas she wants to do. Follows Avodah Zarah, so on and so forth. To serve Avodah Zarah and do Averis, you need a world to exist. If the world doesn't exist, you don't have a place to do your Averis. And since the Olam is Ayman al Gemilas Chasadim, one of the Amudim of the Olam is Gemilas Chasadim, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, and so on and so forth, so therefore, she did Gemilas Chasadim l'shem the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim, in order to make sure that the world will continue to exist. Why? So she'll have a place to do all her averes. So therefore, she was being mechavan l'shem mitzvah, but it was like l'shem mitzvah she got by l'day avera. She wanted it to the gemilas chasadim to really be a good gemilas chasadim, because she knew that keeps the world going. So says the Sheva Musa, so the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, when we're bringing a proof from Izevel, we're bringing a proof how important Gemilas Chasadim is. That even Izevel understood the importance of Gemilas Chasadim, that it keeps the world, or is one of the things that keeps the world, especially Bizman, that there's no Beit HaMikdash, and there's no Avaida. So, and Torah is also Shvach, when there's no Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, Gemilas Chasadim is still something that's around the way it always was. It's the same Gemilas Chasadim that Avraham Avinu did and Shlomo HaMelech that we do. It's the same thing. Our Torah is not the same. Our Avodah is not the same. But Gemilas Chasadim is the same. And therefore, to show us the Galus of Gemilas Chasadim, that's what we're bringing from Izevel. Not from her and her actions and her kavana and her schar, any of that. The proof is that the world stands on Gemilas Chasadim, and she even understood the importance of it. Yeah?
Why did she
have to do it herself? Listen, you know, there's always that insurance policy. It's not just in case no one else is doing it, I'll make sure to do it. Right? When you want to make sure the world's around, right, you do it yourself to make sure, you know, you don't rely on other people. Yeah? Yeah, okay. Why did she do those also? I don't know, I guess maybe she felt that as long as one of the Amudim is still around, maybe the world won't totally go into oblivion. I don't know. This is what the Sheva Musa says, and he's out, you know, both Pshatim to be Melamed Chayiv here, and Izevel, no one should really think that she had Kavana, L'shem Shemar. Okay. Fine. So we had over here v'haisa nivlas. So now in pasuk lamed zayin, the word v'haisa is missing a hay. V'haisa nivlas izevel kadam hnei atzadah. She's going to be spread out, and no one's going to be able to say zayis izevel. Why is it missing a hay? says the Kliyaka, very simple, because five of her Evarim, this didn't happen to, and that was her 2 feet, 2 hands, and her skull. So V'haisa Nivlas Yizevel, the whole thing's going to be spread out, and it won't be recognizable, missing a hey, five Evarim, those five Evarim that still existed, and whether they buried it or not, not the issue, but it wasn't that it was eaten up by the Klavim, and it was totally nothing left of it. Okay, so we're finished with Yehoram, and we're finished with Ahaziah, and we're finished with Izabel. So now we got to finish up the rest of Beis Achav. Who's the rest of Beis Achav? Ulaachav Shivim Banim B'Shamran. Achav had 70 sons in Shamran. 70 sons in Shamran. Now, the Mefarshim here wonder how exactly he had 70 sons. And the problem is because it seems that he only married Yizevel after he became king, and he was only king for 22 years. So 22 divided by 70, figure out the math. There's going to be a bunch of multiple births here, like Shisha B'Keretecha, Yizevel was like too. They have these 70 children. So it's a bit hard to understand, and Mefarshim want to know, how is it that he had 70 children? Not only that, just to compound the question here, the Medrash says he had 70 banim b'Shimrain. In Shimrain he had 70 banim. Says the Medrash, just like in Shimrain he had 70 banim, in Israel he had another 70. He had 140 children. Figure out the math. So some of Farshim say it doesn't really mean children. It means children with grandchildren and so on and so forth. And then you don't have this problem. However, the Kliyakar says no. If the Navi says Shivim Banim, it means Shivim Banim. And how is it possible? Finish. Call Dibre Chachamim, Dibre Kabbalah, says the Kliyakar. If the Chachamim say it, they have this Kabbalah that it's true. And finished. Because the Chachamim say that the 70 were from Yizevel. See, if you look at the Pasuk itself, it said he had 70 sons. Maybe they were from 20 different wives. So you don't have a question. But the Mefarshim say, no, it was 70 from Yizevel. How did Chazal know that? Says the Kliyakar. If Chazal said it, they had a Kabbalah, it's true. Now you have a question, it doesn't fit into the map. Finished. Okay. You have a question. Not all questions have to be answered. But it doesn't, you don't have to look for terutzim, then it doesn't mean children, it means grandchildren. If Chazal said he's evil, it means he's evil. And says the Kliyakar, I'll even show you a proof to this. Why? Because if the pasuk starts off in a funny way, Ula'achav Shiva Banim B'Shamran. Ula'achav? Achav, yeah, Shivim Banim B'Shamran. Ula'achav? Or Le'achav, you could even start. But the syntax of the pasuk maybe should be written, Shivim Banim Hayu La'achav B'Shamran. Says the Kliyakar, what's the last word in the parak before? Izevel. Izevel Ula'achav Shivim Banim B'Shamran. That Izevel Ula'achav, Izevel and Achav had 70 sons in Shamran. So you have a remez in the pasuk to Chazal's Kabbalah that the 70 sons were from Izevel and not from any other wife. Or grandchildren for that matter. And then the Medrash says he had another 70 sons in Israel. Yeah, just that Shamran, yeah. So Vayichtav Yehu Svarim. So Yehu wrote Svarim. Vayishlach Shimrim, and he sent them to Shimrim al Sari Yisrael as Kainim to the elders of Sari Yisrael. Vela Oimnim Achav Leimar, and the Oimnim are like the people who take care, who raise. Vayi Oimnim as Hadasa. It says in the Megillah, he took care of her, he raised her. Ha Oimnim Achav means the ones who take care of Achav. Now, it can't mean takes care of Achav. Achav is long dead. So Rashi says it means the ones oimnim es banim, the ones who take care of his sons. Now he sent to the Sari Yisrael. Now where were these Sari Yisrael? I mean, the children are in Shimrain, so shouldn't the Sari Yisrael be in Israel? Why are they not? Why are they in Shimrain? So, the Radak says, you're right, Remember, Yehu is in Israel right now. He's in Israel, and he's sending to the Sari Israel who are in Shimrain. Says the Radak, because when the Sari Israel, the officers in Israel, when this whole rebellion happened with Yehu, they ran. They left. They left Israel. They're nervous what's going to happen. Where do you go? You go to the capital city. Shimon's the capital city. So they went to the capital city to decide what to do there. That's where the palaces are. Even though he was recovering here in Israel, Yehoram and Ahaziah, and Izebel was there too. But the Sari Israel went to the capital city where the rest of the family are. So he sent him a message to the Zkenim and the Oimnim of Akov and the ones who take care of his children. And they said as follows, Leimer, V'ata, kivay ha-sefer hazeh aleichem, when this sefer is going to come to you, V'itchem b'nei adonaychem, and you're going to have with you the children of your master, meaning the royal children, V'itchem ha-rechev v'asusim, and you also have the chariots and the horses, meaning you have the army, Vir Mifsar, and you have a fortified city, Shimron was fortified, Ba'anoshek, and you have the ammunition and the weapons, Urihisem Atay Vayashar Bimnei Adonaychem, Hisamtem Akisei Ovid. And you're going to see Atay Vayashar Bimnei Adonaychem, the best one of your master's children, v'samtem al kisei aviv, and you should put him al kisei aviv on the throne of their father. V'hilochamu al beis adonaychem. So this is like a very cryptic message. Yehu kedarka here. Like, what's he saying? You have all the things. You have them. You have the weapons. You have the army. Pick one. Make him the king, fight for Beis Adonaychem. So what's he saying here? He was trying to figure out whose side are they on. Are they going to take one of the children, make him the king, and then try to quell this rebellion and fight al Beis Adonaychem, means for your master's house, meaning Yehu just killed out the king and his Izebel. You have the royal family. Pick a king from the 70 or 140 children, whoever they are, pick a king, put him, make him the king, and go fight. You have the whole army there. So he was telling them, you should do this. Now, he didn't really want them to do this, but he wanted to see what they're going to say. Are they going to say yes, or are they going to say no? They say, okay, we'll do it. Then he knows he's in trouble, so to speak, or they're just going to fall. So what happens? And they not only were they scared, they were scared. They were very scared. Vayomru, they said, "Hinei shnei hamalachim le'avdu l'fanav." Two kings, Yehoram and Ahaziah, did not stand up before Yehu. Ve'eich namin anachnu, and we're going to be able to stand up to him. That's the pasuk shot over here. Now, the Malbim says a few things here as follows. In pasuk aleph, when it said, "Ve'la'aynim achav le'mar." So we said they're not the oimnim of Achav, they're oimnim as banav, the ones who take care of his children. So the Malbim says as follows: he sent to the Zekanim vela oimnim. Period. He sent a letter to the Zekanim and to the oimnim. You know what it said in the letter? It says Achav leimar. Achav is sending you a message that you should fight for your master's house, as if he was telling them. And this was part of it. He wanted to see if they're going to stand up against him. So they said, here you are, two kings already, you haven't protected. Two kings, you, the Sari Azekanim, and the Oimnim, you haven't protected two kings. Yehoram and Ahaziah, but specifically Yehoram, because that's whose Malchus we're talking about. So Achav Lamar, Achav, the original king, is saying, go fight, protect them. Make a king and go protect them. As if Achav is the one that's giving this message over. So that's how the Malbim says, Veloimnim Kama. Achav Lamar, that Achav says the following things that you should fight for the Malchus. What? Akav's not telling them. Akav's long dead. But the way Yehu was sending the message was like as if saying, Akav is waiting for you to stand up for his family. Yeah?
So they realized he was joking?
Did they realize? I don't know. So they were very afraid. I mean, either way, it wasn't what he was joking that what? That Akav sent the message? Or that he...
Not lying, so,
right. So they're just saying that it's as if a message from Akav is coming.
In other words,
when you want to say stand up for the Malach's family, so who's the Malach? So you could say Yehoram, right? You can even go farther back. Akav was the original Malach, and he wants to know how come nobody's standing up for his family, just figuratively.
But why would they think that Yehu would want them to stand up for Akav's family if he's trying to kill them out?
Well, they understood that he's, you know, he wants to see what they're doing, what they're going to do. Are they going to stand up? I think so. That's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
So when they heard that Yehu was telling them, you know, you want to fight, let's fight. So they got very scared and they said, two kings, they didn't stand up to him. How are we going to do it? It worked, right?
Yeah.
You know, if he's just going to come, he's not going to say anything. So then he's not sure also where they're standing. But if he instills fear in them, and he realizes they're afraid, so then everything's much easier for him.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do? So Vayishlach Asher LaBayis VaAsher LaIr VaZkeinim VaOmnim Al Yehu Lemer. So the ones who are in charge of the house of the palace, and the ones in charge of the city, and there's also, if you look on the. On the word Al Ha'ir, there's a very, very not common trop on it. It's called a Karnei Para. There's only one time in the Torah that there's a Karnei Para. It's in Parshas Maaseh. And there's one time in the Megillah there's a Karnei Para. On the word Haman. It's a very uncommon, I don't know how many places in Nach it's even there, what it means, I don't know either. Why only these places, I have not figured it out. But it's an interesting trop. Al Ha'ir, Pasukei. You don't have a carny part of there?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
On the top of it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have?
Yeah.
You have nothing on Al Ha'ir?
Yeah.
Not any trop at all?
Yeah.
Dash is in the words, okay, that I understand. But on the word on the ayin, you have something?
Yeah.
You may have an old knot with me?
Yeah. It's like two circles.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, you have an old one. Who has what do you have? A new one? Is it there?
Yeah.
The carny part of that? Let me see your knot. It's a weird thing. Let me see. There has to be some type of trap on it. Can't be,
There's nothing
weird
on it.
That is weird.
Yeah, but here he says the Messiah says, I don't have the Messiah in mind. Chad min yudvok sukim, b'tam hazer galdo v'gagol, b'simim v'maisei rapsa. The Messiah here says it's one of 16 sukim. I didn't think there were 16 sukim.
So, cool.
You look, in Parshas Maaseh, the thing is that most people don't know, most Bali Kriya do not know how to do it correctly. I'd be surprised if... You look at Siva Zakenim has that little thing on it. It's another one facing it. What does it mean? What does it mean? It's the tune. It's the music notes. Doesn't mean anything. It's called a Tlisha. There's a Tlisha Gedayla and a Tlisha Katana. And one faces this way and one faces this way. They don't usually come together. When they come together, they're called the Karne Para. There's different names for it. He calls it a Pazar Gadol and something else. There's different names for it. But it's a very uncommon thing. I don't know why that doesn't have it. So he sent Asher Lavai Shalir Vazakenim Vaimim. So all these people sent El Yehu Lamer a message to Yehu. Now even it says Vayishlach is a Lashon Yachid. They sent one unified letter, even though there's a whole list of people there. They were all unified in saying Abadecho anachnu, v'chol asher taymer leinu nase, leinamlich ish, hatoy benachate. We're not making any new kings. You tell us what to do, we're going to do it. One letter, Lashon Yachid Vayishlach, even though all these people were Lashon Rabbim. That's one pshat. That they all sent one unified letter. The Kli Yochid says another pshat is that individually, every single one of these people on their own wrote a letter. Hundreds of letters started coming into Yehu, and each one said the exact same thing. So Vayishlach means each person, all these people, sent their own individual letter saying the exact same thing. I'm your servant, and whatever you tell us to do, we'll do. So either Vayishlach means they were all unified, Kish Echad B'Lev Echad, they sent one unified letter, or it means each one on their own sent individual letters, and each one on their own sent individual letters, and they all said the same thing. So what did he say? Vayichtav aleihem sefer sheinis lemer. So he wrote to them a second sefer. Im liatem, if you're with me, ulukai liatem shoyimim, ku et roshi anshev ne'adineichem, take the heads of the children of your master, meaning just their heads and not the rest of them, uvoye la'keismach Yisrael, and come to me in Israel tomorrow at this time. And how many were there? Bnei HaMelech, Shivimish, Gedaliah, Megadol Meisam, there were 70 Bnei HaMelech that were being brought up by the Gedaliah here. So this is what he said. He was telling them, at the end of this pasuk, Rashi says, he was telling them, this was all part of it, written in the Sefer, was that there are 70 princes, there are 70 Bnei HaMelech. Meaning, don't try to fool me and say we brought them all, I know there are 70. That's why he said, bring me their heads. How many are there? Uvnei HaMelech Shivimish. There's 70 of them. Don't try to fool me. I know exactly what the number is. And therefore, make sure that you bring me all 70, and we will continue next week.